Well, I was saddened immensely to hear that the Salvation Army has now been taken off the list of support from Chick-fil-A. An old man is dead, or he would die now. And some singer, and I'm sorry, I don't follow new singers. Some singer said if they do not get rid of the Salvation Army, that she's not going to sing for the Super Bowl. It was on the news this week. Whoever is that a Beyonce or who was supposed to be singing at the Super Bowl? J-Lo. Who? Is it J-Lo? Thank you, Nancy. I knew it was somebody that I didn't know. But those who squeaked the loudest seem to be getting the oil anymore. And before long, anybody who believes in God, Jehovah God especially, will be a great minority. And persecution will be there. Charles.
You have to realize, too, that it's always the Christians they pick on, these atheists and all these people. It's never the Muslims. It's always the Christians.
Why not the Muslims, Chuck? Give me out. Huh?
Because they don't. If they pick on the Muslims, they might be killed.
Well, I would say fight back, but you can say that if you wish, yeah. But we've been such doves and pacifists, we're not taking a stand. And by not taking a stand, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything.
Right.
You've heard that before. Joseph.
In Sunday school class in this particular church, there were people from North. And when it was brought up, they did not speak up in that class. The man left, and then they called him later and apologized and said, "We believe what you said." And he just answered back to them, "How come you didn't raise your hand or speak?" And this is the problem. We have Christians that don't want to rock the boat, as they say. We don't want to put them in there. You just back off, leave it alone. And it's sad.
When the Nazis came after the Jews, I wasn't a Jew, so I said nothing. And there's a whole litany of that, of which I'm not very good remembering because I wasn't going to plan on doing it. When they came after the gypsies, I wasn't a gypsy and I said nothing. When they came after the infirm and on, it gives a bunch of that. When they came after me, there was nobody left to say anything. But you know what? Don't be surprised because this is all predicted. We're going to be a hunted minority. Christians, followers, believers, will be a hunted minority, and it will happen that way. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. We'll be talking this Sunday and next Sunday about waiting for God, because we'll be talking about the second coming. And 1 Thessalonians has got two strong chapters about that, about waiting our turn. We are a people who do not like to wait for anything. Your stepfather. What'd your mother say? If he couldn't be seated and be waited on within 2 or 3 minutes, he's up and goes to another restaurant, even if it takes him 30 minutes to drive there. I see that as a lost leader, but I don't know. But we just don't like to wait. You come to help those. Well, I'm that way. I've got a recorder on my television. I don't watch any shows live. I tape them. You can get through two shows in an hour and 30 minutes. Three shows in 2 hours. Fast forward. You got to be real good with that fast forward button. But I don't like to wait for commercials. I've seen that guy fall off those cars and knock people down and Havoc or whatever his name is called. Chaos. What's his name? Chaos or something? I've seen all that stuff. I know what that lizard looked like. I've seen that lizard enough. I got lizards here. But we don't want to wait. Maybe sometimes that's good. You come to help. You come to the help of those who gladly do right. Now, he's mentioned waiting. He's mentioned speaking up. Now, he's mentioned doing right. It is okay. Years ago, when we were here back in Murdoch, there was a lady on show and somebody, and I can't remember her name. Some of you may have. She's passed since then. But she had a thing called Do the Right Thing. And they would recognize usually kids who had helped somebody do the right thing. They put a button on their, a sticker on their bicycle or something like that. Do we do the right thing? He says, God will help those who do right, gladly do right. Remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against him, you are angry. We know God has emotions, and anger is one of them. How then can we be saved? Question mark. All of us have become like one who was unclean. Now that's a big term in the time of the ancients, because any Gentile was unclean to start off with. Any Jew who had not been to sacrifice, who had not been to the tabernacle or the temple, was unclean after a certain period of time. Anyone who touched someone dead is unclean. Anyone who touched swine or something like that, eat shellfish, etc., was unclean. So they knew what unclean meant. You don't want to be declared unclean. Leprosy. Remember when the 10 men were cured of leprosy? He told them to go to the priest and present themselves as clean. And the priest would have to declare them clean, or they couldn't be around their people. We all shrivel up like a leaf. And like the wind, our sins will sweep us away. I do not miss raking leaves. I'm sorry. Our house was on a farm, and we had oaks and pin oaks, and I don't know what all we had, walnuts and wild cherries. We would rake truckloads of leaves. I said, Dad, let me just mow them down and make mulch. Oh, it'll choke the grass out. No, it doesn't. It makes fertilizer. But the wind would come, wherever you put them, the wind's going to blow them away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you if you have hidden your face from us. You have made us waste away because of our sins. Israel's in trouble because the people of Israel have sinned. Could I remove the word Israel and put in the word America, if you don't mind? How many shows do you watch in a week's time that actually mentions God not as a curse word, but as something positive? Or going to church is not just a Easter or a Christmas event, but it's a regular event. And I would say very, very few. Less than a bunch. Like almost none. Connie. Because then they would have to admit there is a God and that the God has control over the world. That's why. Luther what? Luther's sponsor, yeah. Particularly if it's PBS. Or one of those, yeah.
I suggest Blue
Bloods. Yes, yes, yes. Tom, I think that's going away this year. Yeah. It is based on the family. It is a positive on the family. You know, I hate to mention this in polite public, but at one time, our TV stations pushed the family. You remember the old Cosby Show? It was a good family situation. Obviously, he wasn't good. Even back in the 50s, Father Knows Best, remember that? And that was, huh? Leave It to Beaver, Wally, you know. And Andy Griffith Show, you got a whistle. Beverly Hillbillies, Hee-Haw even. Wasn't negative. But I guess there's no money in that anymore, is there? Is that what it is? Or just an intentional get us away from God? Because if we don't have God, then what does the people look forward to? If you don't have the superiority of God, what's next? Government. We shouldn't have that on the radio. Should we blank that out when we send it out on the internet so people won't say I'm against the government, but I am. Because the government's going to lead us wrong if they don't put people first. They become humanist. Every man's his own God, they will teach. Those type of things. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever, but look upon us, we pray, that we are all your people. Your sacred cities have become a desert. Even Zion is a desert. Jerusalem was in disrepair during this time because they had been so cheating on God with the other false gods. Our holy and gracious temple, where our fathers praised you, has burned with fire. All that we treasured lies in ruins. When the Babylonians come in, they ripped it down, tore it apart, and dropped it down. Later on, not having yet, 600 years or so from here, when the Romans came in 70 A.D., they actually burnt fires inside the buildings so that the lining between the block brick, the stones, which had been filled with silver as a sealant, would melt out. And they said silver just flowed through the floors. When you do that, you lose your binding together, and then they would put the blocks over and try to get more and more. So it has burned with fire. After all this, O Lord, will you hold yourself back? Will you keep silent and punish us beyond measure? I kind of wonder if Isaiah here isn't asking for some relief. How many times can you punish someone to get the message across? Or are you like that Rolaids commercial? I can't believe I ate the whole thing. And next Sunday I'll do the same thing. Or the next Friday night, or whenever I go to a buffet or some kind of a potluck party. I eat last. That way most of the food's gone. I don't have to fill my plate once or twice. Huh?
Verse 8.
Thank you. I didn't intend to. Oh, I says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father. Of course. We are the clay. You are the potter. We got a song about that, don't we? It's reversed. Thou art the potter. We are the clay. Yeah. Did any of y'all ever do pottery? Or work with clay, something like that, where you actually can take it and mold it in shapes and either let it air dry or bake it. It becomes your creation. You know, thou art the potter, I am the clay. We are all the work of your hand. But we don't want to be. If we admitted that there was a God that created us from the beginning, and we are not our own selves, how could anybody then accept abortion and kill a young baby, an unborn baby even? That's why we're very active in that work with the group here. Because God is the creation. But then again, Isaiah says, how about forgiving us? Teach us when we're wrong, let us straighten our lives out, and then forgive us and let us go better. Instead of just destroying us. Even Sodom and Gomorrah had a chance. It didn't work very well. They were all destroyed because of that. That they did not accept and listen and obey. 65. I revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call my name, I said, here I am. Here am I. All day long I've held up my hands to obstinate people. Well, that doesn't apply anymore. Everybody just willing to do what's supposed to, is right, isn't it? You ever met anybody just an obstinate person? Just had their mind made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind's made up. And I don't care what you say, it's not going to make any difference to me whatsoever. Usually your brother-in-law, during a, not mine, it's usually a brother-in-law or something like that during a family dinner when he's going to tell you about something you don't want to hear. I love my brother-in-law. He talks about fishing. Rubs it in that I can't fish. But God says, I've been here. I've held out. I'm trying to reach you. And you walk in ways that are not good, pursuing their own imaginations. I'm sure there's a lot of foul, evil things that are involved. Who knows what evil lurks in the heart of man? Who? The shadow knows. That's exactly right. But just a statement of that, evil that lurks in the heart of man, that Satan is getting his way.
She just had a memory test and declared herself all right because she remembered that.
I'll just send you my bill then. A people who continually provoke me to my face, offering sacrifices in gardens. Remember we talked about them going up on hilltops under sacred trees and stuff, offering to the false gods. He says right here, sacrificing gardens, burning incense on altars of brick, who sit along among the graves, who spend their nights keeping secret vigils, who eat the flesh of pigs. Okay, I'm glad Simon Peter got that one figured out. Because about all the restrictions, that one would have bothered me. And I like shrimp, too. Whose pots hold broth of unclean meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils. Anybody here ever go camping or sit around a campfire and the wind blows the wrong way and you get a big puff of that carcinogenic smoke where it about chokes you? That's what I'm imagining what he's saying here. It just isn't pleasant. And if that's not good for you, you want to try it out, go home and get your bottle of Clorox, take a big snort out of that. There was a guy 2 weeks ago that was killed, a manager of a restaurant called Wings or something like that. One of his men was cleaning and put a new cleaner inside of a bottle that had been used by a different kind of cleaner. Basically, it was some kind of acid and some kind of chlorine together. And the fumes put 9 people in the hospital and killed the manager. So even air can be hard on you if it's the wrong air. People who continually provoke me to my very face. Believe it or not, I growed up short and fat. I know you couldn't believe it. I just kind of said, that's not possible. And very quiet. I was a subject of an easy mark to bullies. I was short. They'd make fun of me. My daddy kept my hair shaved off. Looked like an easy mark. And people just want to aggravate you and bother you, but they provoke you over and over and over. They get into your face. And you turn the other cheek several times. But not always. I didn't say that. Where was I at? For I'm too sacred, such people are smoke in my eyes as the fire keeps it burning. See, it stands written before me. I will not keep silent, but will pay back in full. Don't get revenge. Let God do you for you. Because God says he will get revenge his way. Do not keep silent. I will not keep silent, but I'll pay it back. I will pay it back to their laps, both your sins and the sins of your fathers, says the Lord. For some reason, the Bible continually talks about the sins of the fathers shall be borne by the children up to 5 generations. Can you think of anything in your life or someone you know that seems to be, and I'm using this word improperly, but I'm using the word I can think of, seems to be their problems have been inherited. That's just the way their daddy was. They can't help but being that way. Yes, Ms. Joy. It may not be true either, but people say it. I can't help it. That's a crutch. If they say, I can't help it, not my fault. You're right. But we often see that. To me, that's a learned situation. That you have followed those who came in front of you, saying, well, I couldn't do it because my pappy and my grandpappy and all them people was this way. Why should I be any different? Well, the difference is right and wrong is wrong, is what he's saying here. If I follow my daddy's ways, there'd be a cup over here, so I'd be spitting Red Man in it right now. Irene's question is, that means if you do something your parents did and it's a sin, does that mean it falls back on the parents and not you? So it's not your fault then. It's not your fault. It's your parents' fault, right? It wouldn't be your fault.
Is that what you're asking?
What happens to free will?
The Bible that your parents, you cannot be, the sins do not fall on the children. In other words, a parent, because a parent sins, doesn't mean that sin is definitely against the child.
Free will. A lot of people don't understand free will. You can't blame it on those kids. They may have taught you wrong. They may have been a terrible example. O'Hare Field is named after a pilot who actually from what I understand, saved three or four aircraft carriers from being shot down. Si, do you know the story that I'm talking about?
The only thing I remember is that maybe he was supposed to have been the last pilot.
Well, he was supposed to be the last pilot off the plane, and his plane acted up, so he turned and came back. Oh, but that's not the story. The rest of the story is this. This guy who is O'Hare's father was the bookkeeper for Al Capone, who turned Al Capone in. Now, that's not possible, Dwight. He should have been a bookkeeper for a crook, not a pilot, not a famous pilot. So I cannot buy the excuse. That's just a way of my learning. Now, it is our responsibility to give good examples for churches to be started, for the word to be spread. Becky's involved with a school up in Hyman, Kentucky. And I can give her 30 minutes or I'll tell you the story, short version. You want my version. When a group of ladies went up there in about 1905, 1908, somewhere there, nobody could read. We don't need to learn how to read. My pappy couldn't read. My mama couldn't read. Why should I learn how to read? And they brought books in and taught the children. I'm in a group that had, I'm a Shriner, and they had the crippled children's home. Actually asked a person one time, leg was really bad turned, really bad turned. I said, this was in Grayson. I said, we can get you totally free, no cost to you whatsoever, down to Lexington and have that leg operated on, set, and chance to grow back, normal. Now, the Lord put that curse on him, and he's going to carry that curse the rest of his life. Tough to answer that question. Show me where the Bible says the Lord put that curse on him. Now, there is truth that there at the trial of Christ in front of Pontius Pilate, the people said, let that come to us, to our fifth generation of our children. And of course, the Romans came in, and that's where you're getting it. But those people did not have to do the same sin, it's just that the punishment fell upon them. Because Rome came in, destroyed Jerusalem, and those people began to live as slaves for about 1600 years, give or take. But God doesn't blame us what our parents did. God blames us if we don't try to do something, if we don't try to do the right thing. That's our responsibility. So as you say, Ms. Joy, that's a crutch. It's exactly right. We all can use the crutches, or we can all say, what's the best thing for me to do? And Isaiah is getting that from God. As the juice is still found in the clusters of grapes, and the men say, don't destroy it, there's still some good to do in it. So I would, in my behalf of my servants, I will not destroy them all. God has thought about just destroying all of Israel. Well, he's also thought about destroying all the world more than once. But he said, there's something good. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah. Judah, ta-da, as in lineage of Jesus, specifically said right here. So we know Jesus is mentioned all the way back in Isaiah. From Judah, those who possess my mountains. Well, the Jews were living in Mount Zion. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live. Sharon will become a pasture with flocks, the valley of Achor, a resting place with herds for my people who seek me. If you're a city person, been there most of your life, those two lines make no big deal to you. If you're a farmer, if you grew up in the farm, or even out west where there's wide open ranges, some people just crave that. You go out and just sit on a hillside, sit down by the creek and put your feet in a cold water creek. These people were farmers, shepherds, a lot. And they could see the elevation when God talks about a place of herds, a pasture of flocks, peace and tranquility. You can't grow a lot of stuff when a war is going on, when there's blood being shed. But as for you who forsake the Lord, forget my holy mountain, who spread out a table for fortune, fill bowls with mixed wine for destiny. I will destine you for the sword. Punishment. Sometime individually and sometime mass punishment. And a war will be a mass punishment. And you will all bend down for the slaughter. For I called, but you did not answer. I spoke, but you did not listen. You did evil in my sight and chose what displeases me. This is strictly God's judgment. We go on. Verse 15. You will leave your name to my chosen ones as a curse. The sovereign Lord will put you to death, but to his servants he will give another name. Well, we quit being called the Jews and began to be called the Christians, the follower of Jesus. So we were given a new name. That's what he's speaking of there in my mind. Whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the God of truth. He who takes an oath in the land will swear by the God of truth. For past troubles will be forgotten from my eyes. I'll forgive you, but I'll never forget you. Have you ever heard that one? Well, probably not in that language. But yeah, God says it will be forgiven. I can do that. Simon Peter, after the resurrection, and after Jesus came and spoke in the upper room twice, Simon Peter pretty much went into a funk. Because Jesus had told him, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. And he did it. Now, Mr. Judas went into a funk too, but he went out and hung himself. So that was the end of that story. But Simon Peter, and it wasn't until up in Galilee, when Jesus was cooking a meal while they were out fishing and found nothing, and you know, throw the net to the other side, 153 fish came out. Simon Peter went to there. They were all eating. And when Jesus said, Simon, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Take care of my flock. The third time, Simon, do you love me? Teach him. And that's when Simon Peter really knew that the forgiveness had come. And the love of Christ did not end because him denying him three times. We are told that the only unforgivable sin is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. All the rest of them, at our asking and beckoning and confessing to Jesus, are forgiven. That's what we have to understand. And that's what a lot of people, I've been told by more than one, I'm just too much a sinner for God to ever forgive me. Well, let's see. What was her name? Rahab. Remember Rahab, the prostitute that became the great-grandmother of David? You've heard of her. How about Tamara, who was the daughter-in-law of Judah, and God killed his sons for their sins, and she was not blessed by the Levirate law because Judah would not give her the third son to give her a child. She dressed up like a temple prostitute and intentionally got pregnant by her father-in-law. I guess you're not your father-in-law if your husband's dead. I think she was blessed for doing the right thing. I mean, over and over we hear of bad examples who turn good. Mary Magdalene, if it's true. That's an objectionable part, because Magdalena was actually a city, and some will say she was a prostitute caught in immorality with another Jewish man. We don't know if she's the one Jesus wrote in the sand, but she was forgiven and became a great follower. So forgiveness is there all through the Bible, but again, behold, I will create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, we hear that again in the book of Revelation. First of all, we just read it in verse 17, but it's in the book of Revelation as well. Former things will not be remembered, for they will not come to mind. In heaven, we're not going to remember the hard times that we had, the punishments that we had, the tribulations, and the pain that we went through. That will be erased. Did you ever talk to somebody who had a surgery when they were very young? I don't remember that. A blessing that was. For a few days, I'll go back over here. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight. Book of Revelation again is right there. The Jerusalem coming out of heaven. The church adorned as a bride, dressed for a husband. I will create Jerusalem to be a delight. My Jewish friends and followers, keep up with it. The president just announced this Monday, I think it was, that it's okay with him that the Jews start building in the Golan Heights, which they have was given to Abraham, if you want to go back that far, by God. And of course, he got blasted all over the place. But he's following the paths that seem to be biblical for him. I will give it back to you. I'll be glad and rejoice forever. I will create Jerusalem to be a delight. I rejoice over Jerusalem to take the light of my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. And there was plenty of that in the time Jerusalem was occupied throughout history since 70 AD up until 48. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. Why is that? For in heaven there will be no deaths. Death will be gone. He who dies at a hundred will be thought to be a mere youth. That's encouraging. If it wasn't for arthritis, it would even be more encouraging. But the time will come that 100 years will be very, very short. We've got 100-year-old, and we just get her back and give her a birthday. I guess at 100 you can take your time. Verse 21, they will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others will live in them, or plant and others will eat. The Middle East right now, when the terrorists and all come through, and they've been doing it right now with the, starts with a K, help me out, Kurds. They'll come up and say, by tomorrow night, this house will be empty or it will be burned and everybody will be killed. And then when the Kurdish Christians, and Coptic, if you haven't heard the term, Coptic Christians fit in there as well. When they leave, there goes the Muslims and there goes the Infafadis and all those take over their houses. So that's still going on now. They kick out the believers and they come in and take it over. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed for misfortune, for there will be a people blessed by the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. Before they call, I will answer. You ever thought, thinking about somebody, and you pick up the phone, dial, and say, I was just getting ready to call you. Yeah. He'll answer the call. Before they call, I will answer. While they are speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. But dust will be the serpent's food. You ain't got over that serpent thing yet, have we? And they will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, says the Lord. So in this time of judgment, it seems to me that God's righteousness is going to take over. That all the things that we thought were so terrible will either be gone or be corrected. And that's positive. That is positive. I guess you might want to say 65 particularly is reunion, restitution, make-up time. Pick a term if you'd like. But that's promise for us. That's not just a pie in the eye and a hope that Isaiah's hope goes. He asked the first part and God answered the second part. I will mend it back together. See none of you that fit this category. Let me move down 20 more years. Let me move down 30 more years. Irene, I will pick on you. Irene. You used to have a real good Japanese friend, didn't you? Would you have had a real good Japanese friend in 1951? No. Because people still had not gotten over the war. Now, I heard on the news yesterday, this new movie, Midway. Have any of y'all seen it? At the end of Midway, it takes a perfectly good movie. It says, we want to salute all the men and women of the American forces and the British forces and all the heroes that fought for the Japanese as well. I'm not going to see Midway. For the Japanese, yeah. All the brave fighting men for the Japanese. Now, you can all the ones that are now, I mean, some of you even drive Japanese cars. I'm fine with that. But the fact that you accept those who did the atrocities in the war, I'm not into that. We had a good friend, Norman Wydes, that was on the death of the Bataan Death March. And I'm going to spare you the details, but it was not pretty. It was not pretty. So God will forgive and bind those together who choose to be. Any questions? Six is too long. It talks about judgment, talks about hope, and I like the hope part better than the judgment. Any questions to the past two chapters? And we're start thinking of stuff because we've only got... We'll finish with Jeremiah. We'll finish with Isaiah next week and may even start on Jeremiah, but let's stop at 66. Somebody remember that for me. Thank you all very much. What is today? 21st? 27th. Okay.